American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting for you from the Internet for Monday, February 21st, 2011. And you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories. And you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that could be heard on Rad Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and Second Life. Every Thursday you can hang out at 7 p.m. with Agent Dak, Abba, Anthony L. Ball, Traveler, Black Cat 96, Sim Merxies, Flash UI, Max Token Cat, Mindy, Morps. Oh, somebody moved. I hate it when they did that. Flash Adder, Nyx is in there, Morp's there, Mr. Khan, Nyx Resident, Richard A., Sporadiki, Techcraft, Yukasaki, Ivy Lard, and the beings of darkness that are trying to plague the show. Well, straight out of hell, we're not going to sit back and take that anymore. We're just going to push on and make our way through it. Come to Second Life on Thursday at 7 p.m., and you will see the show. To get there, you go to Second Life Node Archers, grid 15574666. And let's not forget that we are, in fact, simulcast on frequency 6673.3 kilohertz by Radio 99. And, of course, there's my long-suffering co-host, Sumerian.
Yes, and especially suffering today with echoes and cutouts, but we cleared it all up and we're good to go now.
Yes, it seems that it's been working out okay, so I may have to wind up boosting your levels in the show. I've still got you quiet. We've been plagued with all kinds of audio. The reason why is because I installed Skype, and Skype is a satanic program, which is actually was originally developed in the 14th century by a French toy maker, and what he would do is he used Skype to communicate with hell. That was what the original usage of Skype was. It was just like, you know, hell. And they would talk back and forth. And then eventually, you know, he broke the covenant and he started coding and the code was released. And now Skype has been rebranded as this horrible thing that will completely destroy your computer's internal audio settings. So I am anti-Skype. I think that Skype is horrible. And I wish it would go back from the black pits from whence it came, because it has totally screwed my system up. I'm not very happy with the Skype. Not very happy with the Skype whatsoever. So let's get into some feedback right off the top. Dear Sean, it's a good show this week. It's a good show because I was able to get some new news and some old news, that I was able to go through some of the archives and all these stories that people have sent me, so I can bring in the really good stuff, you know. So it'll work out, I think, hopefully for the best. Simi, if there is anything you can do to boost your mic on your end, please do so, because now you've gotten quiet on me and I don't really get it. So if you can take that million-dollar mic ears and hook up the generator to it, turn it up to 11.
Cranking it up.
That's
right
okay.
Now.
That's okay with me. Yeah. Anything you can do. I don't really know what's going on, because again, there's a guy with needles in his face who popped out of a cube who's on my soundboard and I can't get to him, and now it's completely screwing up my show. So I'm very angry about that. But of course, we must remain professional. That's much better. I'm much like that. How loud you are now. That's much better. Say something witty. Are you getting these Hellraiser references?
Witty, yeah. I'm
perfect.
A little bit louder now. There's
don't
a little
touch
bit
it.
Of an echo, but I'm going to ignore it and let you do your show.
Really? Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I don't know what else to do. I mean, if you can crank it down a little bit, that's fine. But, I mean, otherwise I can't even hear you in the show, which is pretty
brutal.
It's
a delicate balance doing this show.
I you know, it'd be great if we just... Oh, well, show 500's coming up. Dear Sean, you made a comment about pilots. I don't really recall exactly what you said. Something about relating people that wish to fly and the privatization of the space program. Well, anyway, I have a little statistic I'd like to share. As of 2008, there are only 613,000 licensed pilots in the United States. 613,000. This is down from 897,000 back in the 80s. I'm personally interested in rotorcraft, and as such, I'm looking to getting a license to fly them. Sadly, I've discovered the average cost of getting in on the ground floor as a chopper jock is in the neighborhood of $90,000. I also spoke to someone with a commercial pilot's license, and according to him, they had to pay for his commercial license was comparable to getting to a PhD, which is true, because you have to have the hours. It's disgusting. Like, it's brutal. That's why it's like, if you want to be a pilot and you want to be a chopper pilot, join the Army. That is the only way you're going to do it. Feds are, they got the coolest choppers anyway, really. The feds are down here recently introduced a new category of pilot's license, called them light sport pilot's license. Supposedly give prospective recreational pilots a way to get up there in the air without such a huge monetary hurdle to jump. One problem was that in typical government fashion, they screwed this up huge. There's a number of issues. One of the major problems is if something pops up on your medical evaluation, you're permanently barred from flying. Up until recently, this included diabetes, which, as you know, is on the rise, something huge due to obesity. So coming back full circle, if just sailing through the air is so restricted, I don't see any of us common folk getting beyond the sky anytime soon, regardless of what Armadillo Aerospace manages to pull off. Sent in by Fat Ninja, which, of course, he's always, you know, he's a clever dude, always has some valid input. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that your audio is good. I'm sorry if you're having echoes. I feel bad now. But
as long as it sounds good on your end.
That's all that matters.
It's true.
But Fat Ninja and his point about restricting air travel, I always think that's really brilliant. The idea of, like, you can fly, but we'll tell you whether or not you can do it. We're going to choke you to death with licensing. That's the really brutal part about this. Because you look at this, and it's like, I don't know, you just, it seems like a scam. It seems like we're being bullied. You know, it's the sky. Really? Like, I understand that there's a need for safety and all that kind of jazz, and we can't have 10 million pilots flying around, but there's got to be some middle ground between, you know, having less pilots now than we did 10 years ago and super saturation of, like, the honey hive system cloud of vehicles. I think that there's probably some way we could do a Jetsons kind of thing and actually have the flying cars. But, of course, what's the real issue here is that I don't think they really want people having the free mode of travel. You know, if people were able to travel around the world wherever they wanted to go, that'd be the last. I mean, that's what all these communist countries, not just communist countries in general, they want to keep out people and keep in people. Well, if you can fly, no one's, your border's pretty ridiculous if you can fly. You know, I mean, how are you going to...
Yeah, how are they going to restrict that?
Oh, how are you going to control the drug trade? I mean, holy crap, it just goes crazy. So, of course, they're... I'm sure they're working on the flying cars ideas. I'm sure they are. I'm sure that there's a lot of flying car action on the go, but I don't think that it's really going to, make its way down to the common folk. I'd have to agree. Hey, Sean! You asked for an opinion on 10-11-10 show. Oh, I did? About Nazi tech being used in modern medicine and if we should do it. Well, we do it because it's there. We got the knowledge now. It doesn't matter that, you know, the child dug the diamond out of the grounds of Africa. What matters now is that we have the diamond, right? Isn't that how it works? Anyway, here's my 2 cents worth.
Forget all the knowledge that was discovered.
It's a bad one. Yeah, this is just a hard topic.
And rediscover it again.
This is a hard topic. This is a really hard topic because you're talking about, you know, pretty much some heavily documented arch-evil stuff that, you know, man is willing to do. But anyway, he goes on to say, my definition of evil is the control of others up to and including whether they live or die. The more people you control, the more evil you are. The greater good ends justifies the means are all bullshit. Well, yeah, I'm not going to get into a philosophy argument with you. Using this definition, the line is clearly drawn on the Nazis being evil for what they did. Okay. Using discoveries in medicine, not evil. I would go so far to saying it would be a bad thing if we did not use that tech, the reason being that all the people would have died in vain. The question of whether or not this will encourage human future sacrifices for the sake of greater good may rise because it's our duty not to be lazy, keep the powers to be in check. Hope all is well, and Lupius. Which, you know, there's a lot of people who think this way, and as I've gotten older and I've observed the news over the years, you know, there's always 4 or 5 different versions of every single story. You know, I'm looking at this whole thing that's going on, just getting back to, you know, keeping the governments in check. Looking at all this stuff that's going right on right now. Egypt's, you know, ousted the government. The whole Arab world right now is going a little bit wacko. Everybody's trying to rise up and take control.
And, you know, this is where the internet is really super important, because as long as there's no cameras broadcasting, or pardon me, as long as there's cameras broadcasting, you're safe, right? Because the media is there and they're covering it, and there's some kind of political will. But there are countries where, you know, they can just turn it off and then they'll just kill all the protesters, and they've done it before. China does stuff like that regularly. Yep. Like regularly.
North Korea.
Yeah, you know, North Korea. Well, Tiananmen Square much? I mean, come on. They tried to do a government uprising in Tiananmen Square. Look how that panned out. They got run over by tanks. Right? Squish. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm always wondering what else is going on. This whole thing is... I don't think it's orchestrated, but I definitely think there's going to be a lot of really smart guys wearing black suits thinking of ways to exploit this to their advantage. And so I'd like to watch that. But, you know, I personally, when it comes to the whole, you know, evaluation, the past is gone. It's a horrible thing, but it's gone, right? And the future, so, you know, you have to kind of look to the future, and the future doesn't exist really either. You have to make that. So you have to, like, look at what you can deal with right now, and inside the resource sack, we happen to have this technology. So absolutely that technology should be deployed. But it always does make for good, you know, debates. If you want to get on a debate team. I personally hate debates. I think they're a huge waste of time. because, you know, most problems can largely be solved by difference engines. You know, largely. As long as you have a few caveats, one of them being no death camps. The minute death camps entered the equation, whatever, that's a full stop. You have that blocker. But anyway, yeah. I digress. Now, there's a lot of these kind of shows, a lot of these kind of stories in the show tonight where you have this sort of, it's super hypocritical, actually. And this is one of them here. Now, law enforcement, this is great. If you ever try to be a cop, they want you to be an altar boy, you know, raised by Captain America, living on the Cosby Show your entire life until you're 21, and then after you were the captain of the football team, you apply to the police force and you'll get in. That's what they want. That's the ideal candidate, which, you know, is fine. The problem is, though, that in our culture now, it's accelerating so quickly that to find the candidates that they're recruiting using 1950s and 1960s style of recruiting... is not working. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of police stations that understand this, and there's a lot of cops that are trying as hard as they can just to make it through their day. Now, this is something I was surprised made the news, but it's a piece of booster news. The badge and a steroid-filled syringe. It's not a typical image most have for the abuse of performance-enhancing drugs, but it's more within law enforcement get nabbed on steroids investigation nationwide. Observers say that usage levels among police officers could rival the seediest patch of the pro sports landscape. It's a big problem, and from the numbers in the case, it's something we shouldn't ignore, Drug Enforcement Administration spokesman Lawrence Payne told AOL News. It's not that we set out to target cops, but when we're in the middle of an active investigation into steroids, there have been quite a few cases that have led back to police officers. The pace of investigations into steroid use in the police ranks has picked up in recent months. A former police officer in Canby, Oregon, who allegedly took delivery of some steroids while on duty, pleaded guilty in February to purchasing steroids. An officer in South Bend pleaded no contest to selling steroids. A Cleveland police officer was sentenced to a year in prison and 5 years of supervised release in April after he was found guilty of illegally purchasing steroids. And a dealer in Pawpaw, Michigan, allegedly told authorities he supplied several police officers with steroids, which led one Kalamazoo officer to resign in May. So, steroids, right? Bad, right? Very bad steroids. Well, you know, in Denmark, they're legal, right? I mean, it's called sports medicine over there. Most of your major bodybuilder athletes, if you look at their training resumes, they'll all have spent some time in Denmark because they have sports medicine. I would rather see, you know, if a woman can go into a hospital here, legally pay them money, and they will make her breasts bigger. Okay, they will insert this plastic, it's a procedure, and they will make the breast bigger, and she will leave, and she will be happy. Or not, whatever the problem is, that's what she's doing. Yet, for some reason, you know, they've decided to ban these performance-enhancing drugs. That's their decision to do so. Because they're dangerous, which they are. Okay, they're wickedly dangerous, okay? But the problem then becomes is that you wind up with, like, these ditch gym room medics doling out these drugs... to people, and they're not medically researching this stuff. I mean, if if this these drugs exist, they're being used in the military like you would not believe. Okay, and law enforcement, are you surprised? Look at what they have to deal with. They get called in to deal with the worst of the worst. You're only as good as your drugs and technology make you. What the hell do you expect them to do? You know, I mean, they're not giving them enough staffing. Cops are really between a rock and a hard place. So am I surprised the cops are doing them? Not at all. If I was a cop, I'd probably do them too. I mean, honestly, your life is on the line. Wouldn't you want to have that little bit extra of a boost? This isn't about, you know, making the grade. This is whether or not you live or die. This is, and you're getting older. You're 35 now. You still got kids. You got to keep food on the table. You get injured, you're screwed, man. You better make sure you can keep up with these brand new 19-year-old punks coming out of depot, right? So, I mean, there's going to be some push there. Plus, if you want to get anywhere, try to get on the SWAT team and stuff like that, or just a bit faster with the time trials and stuff, huge, huge pressure on these cops. So is it surprising? So, I mean, this is another drug that should be legalized so that we can control it, so that people who want to be able to do this stuff can do it in a safe manner. This is why, like, people are using steroids and they're getting ahead with them, which tells me that they can be used. They're not going to kill you outright the first time they stick it in your arm like meth. All right, but the problem is that there's no medical backing behind where these guys are getting it done. So that's the fear. We don't want to see, you know, some kid getting dead because, you know, he trusted some dude in the back room of a gym and wound up sticking himself with needles. You know, that's not the answer in this. That's not the answer in this. And when you're cops, you turn your cops into criminals because the bastions of your society are using this to keep up with the pressure they're under. You know, I mean, clearly there's something broken here. The answer is not to turn on the cops and say, you broke the law. That's like waving, you know, the red meat in front of the lion and all of a sudden he bites at it. What are you doing? Okay, you got to find out why they're doing this. Why do they feel a need to keep their jobs to be doing performance-enhancing drugs? What the fuck is going on in the police department? And that's how you wind up with these cops. You see all this footage now, these cops kicking people in the face and stuff like that. And you're looking at this going, what is wrong with this cop? Well, there's obviously, you nailed it. There's something wrong with the cop. Like, he's sick. Okay, and if you do a little bit of research and you look into like PTSD, this is like textbook post-traumatic stress. These guys are all fucked up. Yeah. They've been way overworked. Doesn't excuse what they do, but it explains why they're doing it. Yeah, they need to be taken off the job. You know, they need to be helped. They don't need to be thrown in the gutter, but they need to be put through some therapy. They need to be, you know, have like a 2-year program where you can bring them back down to a level where they're, you know, their blood and adrenaline are evenly matched, where they're sleeping properly, you know, watch their diet and stuff, because they're constantly in under stress. So it's brutal. And to know that they're doing steroids, I mean, that's a huge, huge indicator to me, I think, you know. Sammy, where are you on the steroids thing? Do you think they should legalize that or what?
Yeah, I'm for the full legalization of all drugs so that that it can be, you know, like you're saying, why have these people go out and buy these drugs that could be tainted and harmful for the person rather than find the root of the problem and be able to solve the root of the problem and supply them if they need them or they're addicted to them with clean drugs and maybe provide them with some support and counseling to get them off the drugs and at the same time treat the root of the problem.
The neat thing here is that they're trying to solve these problems with force, right?
Yeah.
And if you solve a problem with force, you can't sort of solve it with force. What they want to do is they want to just take the junkies out and kill them because that's what they used to do. Right, you know, back when you had, like, you know, Stalin and Hitler and all these guys, they just take them out and shoot them, right? Then they're done. That problem's solved on a permanent level, right? But we can't do that, because that's psycho. So maybe force isn't the answer here, okay? Maybe that's not what we should be doing. Now, we got cops doing drugs, making them criminals, but how about this story here in anti-hero slave labor news? The Missouri National Guard plans to start training some of the state's prison inmates to help it during natural disasters and other emergencies. What? The National Guard plans to start training prison inmates to help during natural disasters and other emergencies. Missouri Guard spokeswoman Major Tammy Spicer Thursday, under the proposal, the prison inmates would become a more formalized part of the Guard's disaster response. You're taking prisoners and you're having them work with the Army. I see. She said it would give the Guard... You know, some people really try to join the Army. Some people choose that. Some people look at, you know, services like an honor and stuff. And for you to give it to criminals, I don't know. She said it would give the Guard a larger, better trained pool of workers to respond in emergency. These people are in jail for a reason. If they're not in jail for a reason, they shouldn't be in jail. Right?
Yeah. They're there because they can't live with society. They can't cooperate with society.
Well, apparently they can.
You're asking them to help out society?
I guess training would focus on skills such as filling, stacking sandbags, and removing debris. So they basically got, you know, slave labor. Come on, boy! Move that branch! That's what's going on there. Prison inmates already have been used in the past to help local officials during floods and other emergencies. Over the past several years, prison inmates have worked out with volunteers to shore up levees and fill sandbags along with rivers near St. Louis and northwestern Missouri. Well, are these people a threat or not? Okay. Are these people in jail? Are they a threat to society or not? Because if I'm a threat to society, the last thing you're going to want to do is have me, you know, go out and be working with the National Guard, who've got guns and stuff. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm really sketchy with the whole prison system in the United States, and how their idea of prison works is pretty savage, man. It's pretty old world. There's really no need for it. Okay, you could completely rebuild somebody in about 4 years from the ground up. 4 years. Okay, that's a lot of time. That's, you know, what, 48 months?
Yeah.
That's a long...
A lot of reprogramming.
Yeah, like, you can be brought right down to nothing and built back up again, okay, into a totally different human being. So what is the point in locking people up for 30 or 40 years? Oh, they're a permanent threat to society. Then kill them, okay? Shoot them if they're a permanent threat. If they cannot be rehabilitated, shoot them. All right, now, Simi, I know you don't agree with that, because you're anti-death penalty. And I struggle with this, too, because I'm the guy who says no death camps on one hand, and yet I support the death penalty. So how many people do you have to kill a day for it to be a death camp? You know, is one a death camp? Is,
yeah.
You know, if you kill more than 30 a day, is it a death camp? You know, what's the actual definition there? So it gets a little bit sticky there. But if you have a cancer in your society, okay, if you can't cure it, you better cut it out, because it's liable to start screwing up your society. And you can lock it away in a jail, I guess, but apparently, if we're willing to recruit prisoners to help us in times of crisis, then I think that there's something fundamentally wrong with, well, maybe they shouldn't be prisoners. You know, maybe we should start looking at how we're doing our prison system, because I don't think that they should be able to just take people out and use them like slaves. You want to talk about evil? I do agree with the guy who wrote in, talking about people's controlling other people as evil. Yeah, I think that, I have a similar belief where I think that slavery is worse than murder. Like, if you enslave someone, because you can only kill somebody once, right? Like, you kill them, bang, they're dead. But if you enslave them, and you keep them, and their suffering doesn't end because they're your slave, that is evil, okay? That is not cool. So, I would definitely struggle against that, and no matter how you cut that out, that starts to look really a lot like slave labor and slavery. You got guys in chains, and other dudes with shotguns on horseback, you know, it's not my thing,
well,
man.
Then they start going, well, we need some more slaves, so let's enact some more laws and get people in jail so we can get them working.
I know. It's you know, and it's... I know that there's... it's a good idea to be tough on crime and all that, but there's lots of different ways to be tough on crime and solve problems. And I don't think the prison system right now, I don't think it's solving problems. All you're doing is you're building gladiator schools and you're dropping children in there and you're getting killed and you're getting killers out. So I think that it's a good idea that maybe we should... I don't know how we're going to do
that. That's what happens when prisons get privatized and it's prisons for profit.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to wind up with a fortress scenario there. I mean, if you had some sort of an organization that could actually rehabilitate people, like, that would be the killer app, you know? You got those guys... No, I made fun of this, right? I made fun of this. Going off on this, right? Because they're rehabilitating people. So you talk about, you know, the psychological breakdown phase. I was looking at that SEAL fit, that Mark Devine SEAL fit there. He's a Navy SEAL guy, trained SEALs for 20 years. Gets out of the SEALs. What does he know how to do? He knows how to train SEALs. So what does he do? He opens a business where he starts in a motel taking people in and training them to be SEALs. I'm not even kidding. He would charge them $500-$600. People would pay him $500-$600, and he beats them up on the beach, and just brutally brutalizes these guys. Yells at them, makes them run up and down. Also, all kinds of crazy shit. And you look at this and you go, "Well, dude, I'll do it for half what he's charging. I'll just beast the shit out of you there." And I thought that's really, you know, kind of nuts. But then, of course, bear in mind, I study motivational speakers. I think that, like, Anthony Robbins, for example, makes me angry because he's like the evangelistic, you know, kind of motivational speaker. He's taking people out and he whips them all up into this belief state and takes all their money. That's the big, you know, grab.
Yeah.
So, but like, the courses, for the prices that he's charging, like, Anthony Robbins charges $5,000 for a weekend, okay? This guy's charging $5,000 for 3 weeks. Right, so
yeah.
Price-wise, it's about like going to a resort. It's about the most horrible resort you'll ever go to because every day, like, it's quite the opposite of a resort. Actually, it's like you just enrolled yourself in Paris Island and you do CrossFit all day, and it's just insane. But what they're doing is they're just breaking down your physical level, and they're creating their. It's a brain hack, and then they rebuild you with a whole bunch of confidence and all these totally honed, trained techniques that have been perfected by the Navy for years. In turning people into these focused individuals, and then they cut you loose and you know, you're done. And they've gone in, they removed all this crap, they've done some key core alterations, and then they put all that crap back. It's like going in and having something surgically removed, but it's like invasive therapy. I think that might be the solution, something like that for prisons. The only difference is you got to pay to go to something like this, which means that you have a commitment on your own self to change. And a lot of prisoners, they're so messed up, they don't have the will to change. So how do you instill the will to change? You know, I guess that's probably where it all comes down to. But I don't know, Simi, would you go? Come on, you and me, go down there and get yelled at by some SEALs, you know?
Well, that's a good way to get in shape and to get discipline and... in your life.
I don't know how much discipline there is. I think all that would go out the window pretty fast. I think the first time you're rubbing sand in your eyes, you're gonna be like, "Wow, I am a stupid person. I paid $5,000.
Why did I pay for
this? I am
a
fucking
retard.
I'm the dumbest person I..." But you know, hey, you know, we'll see what happens. In food riot news, now getting up, this is great. I'm loving food riots. Nothing says end of the world quite like food riots.
Yeah.
If all the food in the world were shared out evenly, there would be enough to go around. Same with land, by the way. This has been true for centuries now. If food was scarce, the problem was that it wasn't in the right place. But there's no global shortage. However, that would not be true for much longer. The food riots began in Algeria more than a week ago, and they're going to spread. During the last global food shortage in 2008, there was more serious rioting in Mexico, Indonesia, and Egypt. We may expect to see that again, only more widespread. Now, I didn't know about all these food riots. I'm like, really?
Yeah, neither did I.
Most people in these countries live in a cash economy, and a large proportion lives in the cities. They buy their food, they don't grow it. That makes them vulnerable because they have to eat almost as much as people in rich countries, but their incomes are much lower. The poor urban magnitudes of these countries, including China and India, spend up to half of their entire income on food, compared with only 10% in the rich countries. When food prices soar, these people quickly find that they are simply the lack of money, and they go feeding themselves and their children properly, and food prices are now at an all-time high. "We are entering a danger territory," said a crazy dude with an Arab name, chief economist of the Food Agriculture Organization. "But the price of a basket of cereal, oils, dairy, meat, and sugar reflects the global consumption patterns have risen steadily for the last 6 months and have just broken the previous record set during the last food panic in June 2008. There's still room for prices to go much higher. If, for example, the dry conditions in Argentina become a drought, we start having problems with winter kill in the northern hemisphere for the wheat crops. After the loss of at least a third of the Russian and Ukrainian grain crop last summer's heat wave with the devastating floods in Australia and Pakistan, there's no margin for error left. It was Russia and India banning grain exports in order to keep domestic prices down that set food prices in the international market soaring." So, I guess all these disasters and mudslides and droughts and stuff that we're all reading about, it's actually screwing with our food now.
Oh.
Yeah. Which, you know, of course, we're not allowed to grow our own food, right? Because that's illegal.
Oh, no. Food's copyrighted.
Yeah, well, and you have to have the right licensing, right? We got those people that are selling milk and stuff. They can't do that anymore, so... you know.
No, they'll come and, you know, take all your house and your money and, you know, because that's illegal. You can't make your own food. That's crazy. That's what the corps do. That's what the corporations do. That's not for us. It's
no.
Not for people like you and me.
No. 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 So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out a way to feed myself otherwise, you know. And, yeah. Yeah, you know. You're okay, Sim. Pretty much, I've got three books in my house here I could just give to you and set you loose upon the forest, and you would be fine. Luckily, we live in a rainforest. Yeah. No, really. We live in a rainforest region, right? So if you live in a forested area, guess what? You should learn how to survive in the wilderness. No one ever starves to death in the jungle, not if they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you're in a rainforest here. There's tons of edible plants out here. Like, you could totally... That's your palate true. Would shift, but, you know, as they say...
You'd get used to it.
Well, hunger is the best sauce. As they say. So, you know, eventually you get used to the dandelion.
Everything tastes so good when you're hungry, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does, actually. But, you know, these food riots, I mean, they're freaking me out. And the word riot is kind of an interesting thing. Recently, I've been on this kick where I've been looking back at the L.A. riots and having a look at some of the what actually happened there. Because when that happened, let's see, I was about 18 years old. And I remember that going down and seeing what was going on during the LA riots. And there was a bunch of, you know, rap songs that came out at that time. And now that we got a bit of distance on it, what that was just people going absolutely crazy and attacking other people. Like different, you get different footage of the riots in different parts of the city, and there are a totally different vibe going on in that riot. Some of it was just out and out hate. Some of it was just guys just attacking people for no reason. And I got to tell you, you know, the concept of a riot is a terrifying thing. And I wouldn't want to be involved in any way, or have anyone I care about, or my family involved with a riot, because it's terrifying shit. You know, seriously, I just, ooh. Yeah. Now, of course, getting back to the food thing, this is why, you know, as WOGs, as people, as you know, forward-thinking individuals, you got to have a plan to make sure that you can feed yourself. Like, you got to make sure that you've got that. This is, you know, Maslow's need hierarchy. So, you know, when you realize one day that maybe the supermarket won't have food, think about that. What if it was just empty? What the fuck would you do? What would you do? Really, if all the stores closed, nobody's open. Yeah, I mean, how full is the freezer? You know, if the store is closed...
Especially if you live in city like I do.
Oh, for sure.
You are a little bit further out. There's some land out there. There's a million people next door to me.
So, yeah. I mean, if you know how to hunt and skin a little bit and maybe fish a little bit, you'd probably be all right. But, I mean, that's not going to be an option for Sim. And not because he's a vegan. I mean, because he lives in the city. If everyone tried to do that, then you have the additional problem of starving people roving in packs. Right? That's when it starts getting into like some real good after-now-y sort of, you know, cannibals, people taking out your pets because they're going to get dead. Birds are going to go down pretty hard. The zoos get swarmed. Ooh, that'd be a good one. You know, people eating the animals in the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could get really gritty with that. But anyway, you know, more apocalypse news. Gotta love this. Thank you, Herbert Philby. And the rest of the galaxy who sent this to me, a powerful solar eruption has already disturbed radio communications in China and could disrupt electrical power grids and satellites in the Earth in the next days, NASA has said. Massive sunspot, which astronomers say is the size of Jupiter, which most people won't really understand how big that is, but that's fucking huge, okay? I believe Jupiter is quite a bit bigger than our planet, like... Quite a bit bigger.
Oh, massively. Like 10, 20, 30 times bigger.
So there's been a sunspot, which is basically, you know, the Death Star blew up Jupiter not too far away from us. That's the size of that explosion. Boom, okay? And the strongest solar flare in 4 years, NASA said Wednesday. The Class X flash, ooh, wow, the largest such in its category, erupted at 1:56 Greenwich Mean Time Tuesday, according to the U.S. Space Agency. X-class flare is the most powerful of all solar events that can trigger radio blackouts, long-lasting radiation storms, disturbing telecommunications and electrical grids. So, interesting. Isn't that interesting? Now, this story's getting a lot of play. This story's been coming up for quite some time, because I've been talking about, you know, the solar sunspots and all that. And we got this, we got a lot of political unrest going on right now. So what if a bunch of internet connections went down and they blamed sunspots? Would that be crazy? Is that paranoid, you know? Is that something that I should watch for? I don't know. I thought it was an interesting idea. But yeah, man, like, it's a good thing to blame it on, but I don't know, you know, I've always thought, like, if the world ended, how would you know, Like, what? It's not like you're going to get a ding dong. This is your text message. The world is ending. You know, that's how are you going to know the world is over? And I think it's when the power goes out and it doesn't come back on after 3 days. If the power hasn't come back on after 3 days, now's when you seriously have to start to consider that maybe it's the end of the world. Especially if you haven't had any updates. If the power has gone out for more than 3 days and there's no updates, it's probably... As a matter of fact, I usually like to think that when the power goes out and it's not just, you know, windy, I would just assume it's the end of the world so you can get past the traffic jam. But, of course, everyone's loading their car. It'll be funny. You know, there'll be the wogs in the neighborhood. They'll all be loading their cars, smiling, waving at each other, and driving orderly. What are you guys doing? We're going camping. Do you think this is the end of the world? No, not the end of the world at all. You stay here and wait to be zombie food. Yeah, yeah, we're leaving, but don't clog our highways because we want to get out of the city. Okay, bye. You know, I probably only make it, you know, maybe out of Vancouver before the power came back on. But, you know, as you're driving, it's a good chance to check out if anybody else has got power within visual range.
Good practice. Anyway.
Sure, you know, so if things go out and the TV's dead and the radio's dead and the power goes out and you turn on the radio and the radio's still dead, yeah, just assume it's the end of the world. And, you know, begin enacting your plan because as a good person, you know, you've got your escape plan. You're probably going to be in a really good mood. You don't have to pay your credit card off. No one's going to owe you any money. The guy who you really hate, who's been screwing with you for quite some time, if he gets in your way today, you could probably shoot him. You know, it's going to be looking all right. And these solar flares, you know, if it all lined up, you know, if you had the solar flare with some of these food riots going on with, you know, some of these natural disasters, hey, it's all over, man. You could really, you know, put it down. Now, keeping in the concept of survival, and I've heard of stuff like this, stories like this pop up every now and again. There's dubious stuff regarding it. But I think that, you know, funny enough, this show is heard all over the world. We get email from literally all over the world. And I know we have people who listen in the region of Romania. I know this for a fact. So yeah. I'm wondering if someone who's within the region can go find out about this. Because if they can, this would be the coolest thing ever to bring to light. The Dimitri Leonoda National Treasures Museum for the Romanian hosts a weird kind of battery built by Vasil Karpin. The pile has been working uninterrupted for 60 years. Okay, it's a battery that's been running for 60 years. I admit it's also hard for me to advance the idea of an over-unity generator with something ridiculous, even if the object exists. Nikolai Desenko, engineer and director of the museum. The invention cannot be exposed because the museum doesn't have enough money to buy the security system necessary for such an exhibit. So this kind of strikes me as that's kind of, what do you mean? What? What? So I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. You got a forever battery that's been pumping out juice for 60 years, but you can't show it to us. Really. Half a century ago, the pile's inventor had said it will work forever, and so far it looks like he was right. Karpin's perpetual motion machine now sits secured right in the director's office. It's been called the Uniform Temperature Thermoelectric Pile. Its first prototype has been built in the 50s, although it should have stopped working decades ago, it didn't. Scientists can't explain how the contraption patented in 1922 works. The fact that it still puzzles how a man of such a scientific stature as Karpin's could have started building something that crazy. The prototype, it had been assembled in the 50s, consists of two series connected electric piles moving a small galvanometric motor. The motor moves a blade that is connected to a switch. With every half rotation, the blade opens a circuit and closes at the end and the start of the second half. The blade's rotation time has been calculated so that the piles have time to recharge so they can rebuild the polarity during the time that the circuit is open. Okay, so it's this never-ending sort of loop. So it actually runs on gravity, is pretty much what it sounds like here. The purpose of the motor of the blades was to show piles actually generate electricity, but they're not needed anymore since current technology allows us to measure all the parameters and outline them in a more proper way. So we got this thing, right? That's apparently some kind of perpetual motion machine. And I hear about these stories from time to time. You think about it, and sometimes you need to start, you know. So, now, apparently, there's been people in Paris who tried to steal this thing, all the rest of it. I'd like to get the kind of stuff. I'd like to find out a little bit more about it, because there was a patent on it and stuff like that. Now, granted, it's probably crazy. Okay, granted, it's probably a hoax.
Especially if there's a patent on it, you can just go look it up and go and build it yourself.
Explain to me why it won't work, okay? Yeah, definitely. But The guy comes to me and says, hey, this guy patented this in the 50s. He's got a battery that's still working. It's been working for 50 years. I want to look. You know, it's impossible. It's like, if you tell me the wardrobe is a gateway to Narnia, I'll be like, you're full of shit. No, it's a gateway to Narnia. I'll still say you're full of shit, but I'm going to stick my rifle through the end of the of the wardrobe just to be sure, because you don't want to take a chance with something like that. Because if you could you imagine?
I figured out how to solve all their money problems for their museum. They could just sell a ton of these things because they seem to last forever and give you infinite energy. Well, so, you know, you sell them $10 a pop, you can finally finance your museum.
Well, there's that. But let's assume for a second he really does have a battery. Okay, let's assume he's not lying. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's a dead man. Okay. Well, seriously, you've got free energy. You have the secret to free energy. How the hell do you get that out? WikiLeaks? You know, shit, man. They blew a whistle a little bit. Like, maybe you could get it out, but I mean, that would probably be the best way to do it. But then you'd have, like, a whole host of people who'd come out. I mean, they shot JFK on television, and then they shot his assassin, like, a few hours later, and the whole world bought it. You know, they fly two planes into two towers. They fall down into 24-foot segments, and everything gets swept up, and suddenly we're in this huge, never-ending war. And everybody bought that, just like they bought every other war that's been fed down the pipe. So what makes you think that they couldn't shut something like this down? The really sick thing is, what if Alex Jones is right? You know, what if he's really right? Like, what if half of what he says is right? And you've got, you know, some very seriously bad people out there who are willing to do whatever it takes. This guy would have a right to be scared shitless about it. He's looking for funding. He wants to look at it. I don't know. But, you know, it caught my interest. Guy's saying he's got an eternal battery. We, as, you know, people who love technology, we have uses for batteries. If you've got a battery that'll run for 60 years... I'm pretty
interested.
Put it
in the laptop.
Sure. Or your cell phone, which brings us to our next point. The cell phone. The little mobile bug that we carry around with us. You know, that they've made us. You know, that's our new wearable. We could add wearables that we built ourselves and we could use, but we can't because we're lazy consumers. So Apple has to come out with this weird slick domino that everybody glues to the side of their head, and then they make it bigger and they smaller like a stretchy band, and everybody goes crazy. You get a stupid domino that you can't plug anything into and you can't record anything on. You can't put any media into it. It's just a big, slick, stupid-looking screen. And there's absolutely no way to put memory into it. So I'm like, can't take the battery out, can't even open the stupid thing. You know,
boo.
So... of course, our phones are always there. And as part of our, you know, they've structured society now that you pretty much need to be having a phone. If not, then you're going to be in real trouble. So along comes the wonderful solution of our first piece of... I'm sorry. I totally missed the story. how did I... Okay, so we're in the Cyberpunk kit. We did the Forever battery. I'm going to remind me, I have to go back up. So what we're talking about is a phone cloak. This is the EMFX47 by Nemo Equipment. This is really cool. It's a $50 Faraday cage. Okay. Nemo Equipment has just released a fantastic new pouch called the EMFX47 that just rolls off the tongue. That acts like a cloaking device for your cell phone, designed to block cellular phone signals using a specialized conductive textile lining. The EMFX47 can prevent your transmissions from being maliciously intercepted to track your location. Let us provide you with a demo of how the pouch functions and some further information on how you can stay safe. Well, okay, it's a pouch. You put your phone in it, you close the pouch, that's how it works. Okay, it's not really, you don't need to... First, you open the pouch, and then with your left hand, you know, come on, seriously? Just pull the pin, okay? And it'll also hide your RFID on your passport, so you can put it in there. It's a really cool device. It's $50, which is like, ow.
Yeah.
You know, but I paid $60 for a physical case, an OtterBox case for my phone. So why not have an electronic case? And if you really needed that, would that be worth the $60? Plus, anything you throw in there is fine. So it's like, hey, I've got the pouch. You get one that's... because you got a small phone, you could put two or three iPhones in there. Things have gone horribly, horribly wrong. You and your friends walking down the street, you hear a strange noise, wander into the underground parkade. Suddenly there's a blight flash and an angel falls out of a concrete wall holding a crystal shard. first thing needs to happen is everybody's cell phones going in the pouch. That's the first thing that's got to happen, you know, because we got to regulate the comms. You know, something's definitely going on here. So you want to control that kind of a thing, right? So having those kind of, I think it's a very cool piece of kit. And it's the first one I've seen that is actually a solution in that way. So if you can't get a phone that's like Super Ninja that you can control right down to the root level, hey, I just got this handy dandy cat pouch. I'll throw it in there and it's all shut down, which I think is really cool. Now, another cool story. And this is, it's called, well, it's about a minesweeper that's been invented. This is fucking awesome. It's basically about destroying home explosives and electronically detonated explosives. Landmines and explosives are terrible, terrible, terrible things. And clearing them, clearing booby-trapped areas is extremely dangerous. It takes a hell of a long time. Back in the day, we were involved in clearing quite a bit of land, of landmines, and I still happen to think that was one of the best things that we ever did. Because it's just, it's absolutely horrible. And IceHawk sent in this story about this minesweeper. A device enables the remote explosion of improvised landmines. The EPFL in Switzerland has developed a new tool to eliminate those weapons using electromagnetic energy. Compound of diverse elements, mostly of plastic with little metal used, improvised explosive devices are very difficult to detect. In cooperation with two Columbia University scientists at EPFL's Electromagnetic Compatibility Laboratory, they have found the solution. They've developed a device enabling the remote explosion of these mines by using the energy from the electromagnetic impulses. This type of mine is often used by guerrillas or terrorist groups in conflict zones and is present in many regions of the world, such as Colombia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. They kill or mutilate hundreds of thousands of people every year, many civilians, being themselves Colombian and hence sensitive to this problem. Felix Vega and Nicolas Mora, doctoral students at EPFL, decide to make this project the subject of their thesis. The two researchers had to confront two main technical difficulties. First, they had to find a way of inducting current that was strong enough to set off a charge at a distance, detonators of the mines, sometimes buried deep in the ground. Secondly, they had to be sure of obtaining resonance frequencies within the various types of mines, which are all constructed in different ways. Long story short, they were able to set off, they did it, and the Electromagnetic Company Laboratory tested the system in Colombia last November using actual improvised mines provided by a team of professional bomb disposal experts, real mines, and they were able to set off at an average of 20 meters. Okay?
Wow.
60 feet. Instead of probing and moving at a foot at a time, out goes the antenna. Boom! I have a 60-foot radius that is now clear of mines. That is...
You can clear fields at a time.
Dude, like, you're saving lives. That is awesome. Mines are, mine and mine warfare is fucking horrible. There's people still being killed by mines that were laid in the Second World War. Something like this, if you could do this, wow. What, like, that is that is super cool. That is super cool. And anything that saves kids' limbs, I'm thinking that's okay. You know, me personally, I just, ooh, man. That kind of stuff gets me all worked up. But when you see something like that come over, some dude, you know, and how proud would you be? You know, seriously, I hate mines. I hate them with a passion. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Anything that gets rid of mines is amazing. Now, all that has to happen is the United States needs to ban them and get rid of their stockpile.
Of landmines? Well, what do you do with them? You know?
Well, send them to these guys.
Well, that's just it. Nobody's going to ban landmines. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They did the same thing with white phosphorus. Oh, it's smoke now. Yeah, we just paint, we put the S on it. We use it to you know, it's phosphorus lands, burns into your flesh, it never stops. It's horrible. It's banned by the Geneva Convention. So what do the United States and Canada do? They put smoke on it. Yeah, we don't use them, we don't use them as weapons. We just mark the enemy positions so that the aircraft can bomb them. So we'll just mark them with this, you know, highly corrosive, acidic, which burns, and because it burns, it produces smoke. We'll call it smoke, and suddenly, hey, we're okay. You know, I don't object. I know that war is horrible, and when you have to fight it, you have to fight it. What I really hate is when they lie to you, and they try to make it like there's rules and that it's somehow okay, because war is never okay. It should be the ultimate and last resorts, and if you make it kind of okay with these fake rules, people seem to think that they can enter a situation of war and not have it bite them in the ass, as it has done so every single time. So, seeing things more clearly at a distance. Looking forwards into the future. And that's what today's Daily Hack is all about. Now, night vision is awesome. We know this. The other show, I talked about how to build a LED flashlight, how to make your LED flashlights, because night vision technology is very, very affordable now. People can build infrared night vision goggles. They need to run on infrared LEDs. But the problem with the LEDs is that you can only illuminate things that are pretty much within 20, 30 feet. Okay?
Yeah.
But now we've got a solution. This is awesome. This is a long-range laser night vision illuminator, essentially an infrared spotlight. Infrared LEDs are most widely used source for infrared radiation for night vision illuminators because they are inexpensive, easy to connect, and possess no safety hazards because the human eye, they are human eye safe and do not radiate much heat. The drawback to LED-based night vision systems is they're not really usable at a distance of more than 100 feet, no matter how LEDs you use in this way. Filter-based night vision illuminators that change visible light into infrared light are capable of much greater distances, but they suffer from huge energy losses due to a massive heating of the filter material, and because of this, require massive amounts of current and are only suitable for outdoor use. A laser, on the other hand, is capable of extremely long-distance illumination. It's probably the most energy-efficient source of a bright light possible. And they run it through, it looks like a rifle scope in reverse. So they pump it through a rifle scope to get the beam spread out a little bit. It's a pretty neat hack that got sent in by Starling. So, you know, it's pretty neat. It's definitely very neat. As well, for those of you like yourself, Simi, who've got a very sexy phone and can do things like augmented reality, I found an amazing little website called Augmented Planet, which if you don't know about it, you should check it out. And it's a good resource for all things AR, because as AR is augmented reality is moving forwards, it's good to know it's following on that trend. That's something that I think we need to get on, because that's going to be the future. There's some interesting applications where you can build your own AR text worlds and things like that now that are moving forwards. But of course, they're all catering towards, you know, the iPhones and stuff. I suppose I could get one and jailbreak the hell out of it, you know. But I've been, really hack the living snot out of it. But that would probably take quite a bit of effort on my part. Ah, it's hard to keep being excited about tech. You know it is. You just want to make a phone call. Damn it. Now, some Recomedia. We got some good stuff coming at you. Steal This Wiki, which was sent in by Super Unknown. And the wiki goes on to state, this is a fantastic site. Thanks for visiting Steal This Wiki, a collaborative update and rewrite of Abby Hoffman's seminal work, Steal This Book. And special welcome to readers of Little Brother, Cory Doctorow's new book, available for free online. We're excited to see reference for our project. The project is divided into three major categories. Survive! It's a primer on basic level survival in tough times. Here you'll find information on everything on how to eat on the cheap, get through the high school, living on the streets, knowing about drugs, and much more. Then there's Fight. Fight is advanced skills after you've gotten out of your survival needs to take care of. Topics range from using firearms, leadership skills, good use of the internet, getting the hell out of Dodge, and even petty theft if you're desperate or crazy. Lastly, Liberate is a section of individual, a section on individual cities written from a free spirit's viewpoint. If you're stuck in a small town going nowhere and want to leave for the adventure, free cities may have some good information for you. Very cool website to check out. Steal This Wiki. And a PDF, which I'm like, wow, it's too good for me not to show. Now, I like having, you know, costume documentation. I think it's funny, you know. I would like to get a Judge Dredd beds and stuff. But here's how you get fake ID that says you're any kind of law enforcement you want. This is pretty great. And the best part is it's put out by the Army. This is the intelligence assessment explores the availability and sources to purchase fraudulent law enforcement credentials and badges, and how their use is a direct threat to the security of military installations, federal facilities, and other critical infrastructure. So it's basically how to buy badges that say you're part of Homeland Security, all that kind of jazz. Which I was like, wow, really? So good to know. So if you got people showing up and claiming that they're FBI, and they got documentation that says they're FBI, that may not be enough. You know, because apparently that's an...
You can check it for yourself.
Well, you know, I'd like to know what fake ID looks like. Is there some telltale stuff so you know what to look for? Because I currently wouldn't know. And then if you realize that there's six guys that are all handing you fake ID and they want you to go with them, now you've got another set of problems. You know, mind you probably have some different force options open to you now, but, you know, it's good to know that. It's good to know whether or not you're really being led away by the bad guys. And that's all I got for you this week, but don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure that you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please drop by the Rant Media website, pick up some produce, pick out some good munchies over there, get yourself a flag, some DVDs. You'll be able to, you know, have some fun with it. Should be good. And, you know, really, for the value, we have some of the best media available online for the money that you will pay. And you can send an envelope if you want to, fill up goodies and gold, lost maps, ancient treasures, family secrets, anything you got, send it to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. One digital baptism this week is Scott. He is now Captain Hind. That's spelled H1ND. Captain Hind. Scott. And, of course, I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. That's where you can find Simi and ask him all your questions. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. Now, let's all remember what day it is today.
Okay.
Do you know what it is? You don't know.
Well, to the actual day is February 17th, and the future time-shifted day is February 21st.
Ah, well, it's the day, it was 10 years ago today, that All Your Bass Are Belong to Us was made. It was released today. It's been 10 years ago. Do you remember
how
that
could
was?
I forget so easily?
Yeah. You know, All Your Bass. And that was, I've still got that on my personal soundtrack. That's like one of those songs that was just awesome. So, yeah. So we're going to fade out Nay in honor of the 10th anniversary today of All Your Bass with All Your Bass Are Belong to Us. Very, very cool. Simi, have you got anything else to add to the show today?
No, not today.
Not today. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
What happened? Someone set up us the bond. We get signal.
What?
Main screen turn on.
It's you.
How are you, gentlemen? All Your Bass Are Belong to Us. You are on the way to destruction.
What you say?
You have no chance to survive, make your time. Ha ha ha. have no chance to survive, make your time.